chapter 4. Continue our studies on reciprocal love, to love one another. That particular command is given to us some 6 times in the New Testament scriptures, and it's specified in all of the other one another imperatives from the Lord, like what we've considered to be kindly affection. Notice the word kindly in that verb in Romans 12. You have the word kin there. It's a verb that means to love with family affection. And so they use the word kindly affection, but it's a verb that means to love with a kinship kind of love. And that's one specific of what it means to love one another. I'll start with verse 26 as we consider another of these reciprocal commands. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Our focus this morning is, and be ye kind one to another. This is love 101, isn't it? We read together 1 Corinthians 13, and nearly the top of the list is kindness, love. If you could give a list of some 20 virtues of love, what would you have put at the top or right near the top? The Lord puts suffer long at the top, and that you'll see is in this particular text as well, right close by to kindness. But love suffers long, and to show that it's not just merely biting your lip, some people think that they're suffering long by just simply putting up with someone else. That's not what it says. If you're just putting up with someone or biting your lip, you're not going to be kind to them. You're going to think you're suffering long, but kindness is the other side of the coin for suffering long. You're suffering long, your long suffering is out of love if you can turn around and be kind to the person that has tried your patience. And that's what the Lord is saying here, be to suffer long and to be kind. And you'll see that it's in this particular text as well. The New Testament word for kind or kindness is also translated easy. My yoke is easy. My yoke is kind, but it's easy going. It's easier to handle than the yoke that you had as a sinner. It's translated easy. It's translated good. It's translated gracious. It's translated better. What we could say is kindness makes things easier for people. We're facilitating their lives by being kind. Kindness is a kind person is someone that's easygoing, not someone that is apathetic or lazy, but is easygoing. He's not ruffled in the sense that he's not anxious. He's not an anxious person, but just like we considered Wednesday, that we need to worship rather than worry. We need to pray and pray with thanksgiving instead of complain and worry and be anxious. A kind person is easygoing. Kindness is being useful and helpful. And so, matter of fact, the root of the word kind or kindness in the New Testament is the word for use. And a kind person is useful, versatile, useful to every believer. I mean, kindness is across the board, can be used toward every single believer. And it's, what does it mean? Well, it just that a person is playing down nights. The Bible commands us to be playing down nights, to have a kind disposition, to have a and to kindly interact with one another, to have a sweet spirit. Remember, David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. It really underscored the fact that he was a very kind man. Now, he could get angry, and there were obviously times when he got sinfully angry. But generally speaking, David was a very kind man, a very kind king. He's a type of Christ. The Lord Jesus was a kind king, meek and lowly of heart. And just kindness was written all over his brow. A kind disposition, kind words proceeded from his mouth. Remember, they talked about the gracious words that proceeded from his mouth. Paul speaks about showing ourselves as Christians, as it were. 2 Corinthians 6:4, in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of Christ. In other words, in all things, showing ourselves to be Christ's servants, showing ourselves to be Christians by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned or unhypocritical, by the word of truth and by the power of God. In other words, he's saying, we show ourselves as Christians, as servants of the Lord, by being long-suffering. Notice he puts that first, just like 1 Corinthians 13. And by kindness, and so on. So, the Bible tells us that we're to be kind people. Kind words. Remember in Proverbs, it says, of the godly woman, the virtuous woman, in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's not random. It's not an inconsistent thing with her. It's the law. It's the law of kindness. That is her. It's rare for her to be unkind. We obviously fall. We're all sinners and in need of forgiveness. But the virtuous woman who's cultivated godliness and Christ-likeness in her tongue is the law of kindness. And we, of course, would say that this is also true of the virtuous man. And so we're to be a people who express kindness in our words, our language, not corrupt communication, but communication that edifies, that soothes, that helps, that's useful. In our words, in our deeds. And the children gave several examples of kind deeds as recorded in the Scriptures. And there are multiple kind deeds performed by the Lord Himself. How kind it was for Him to give Adam His wife and Eve her husband. And how kind it was for Him to clothe them after they had sinned. How kind it was for Shem and Japheth to walk backward to clothe their father. How kind it was for David's men to risk their lives so that he might get a drink of water. And so on. Over and over and over again we find believers being kind. And that's the rule for believers. In the world you'll find kindness, but it's sporadic. And it's not the deep down character of an unsaved person. We have unsaved people have remnants of the original Adam, but believers are recreated in the image of Christ. And it should be a law in the Christian's life, in the Christian church, in the Christian family. That is, it should be a consistent standard, a consistent practice that's evident. Well, you'll find it a little bit in the world, but people should expect it in the church. They should expect it in our homes. They should expect it in our marriages. They should expect it from individual Christians. Oh, people might think it's a weak thing to be kind, that you're vulnerable. Well, if kindness is being vulnerable, then I'll be vulnerable. Kindness doesn't mean you're gullible. It just means that you're that you believe all things. You're hopeful of that person you're trying to reach. You're not looking at all the negatives. You're seeing what God can do for that person's life. And you're kind, even to a fault. The Bible says that a kind person could get angry. It says, be angry, but sin not. We cross the line of being unkind when we're angry to a fault. But the Bible teaches that a believer, a kind person, should get angry. It says, be angry, but sin not. And a kind person is angry over those who take advantage of the underprivileged in the world, those that blaspheme God and angry at sin in the world and angry at wickedness, but are a people that are deeply kind. It's deep-rooted. It's not only just plain down nice, but notice it says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. In other words, it's showing where the kindness comes from. It's not a surface thing. It's not just a knee-jerk reaction. It's not a practiced, a rehearsed reaction. Well, I have to have a smile on my face when I go in for the interview. Or I'm now going to church and I need to produce a smile. No, it's talking about something that is from the inside out. It's deep-rooted. It's a person is not a Christian in name only, but in character. Now, this particular word, tender-hearted, is used twice in the New Testament, here and in 1 Peter 3:8, where it says, love his brethren, be pitiful. The word is, be full of pity, be kind, or I'm sorry, be tender-hearted. The root of this word is the word from which we get our word spleen. It's translated, the root word is translated bowels all over the New Testament. So what is it saying? The word, in particular, that word means, this word tenderhearted means good guts. Be good gutted. In other words, have compassion in your bowels. Have it deep down inside. And if it's deep down, it'll come outside. You know, isn't it true that what's inside is going to come outside? An unkind person has hard-heartedness, not tender-heartedness. God's people are a people that are saved from the inside out, and the Lord works on our hearts, doesn't He? He works on our insides. He wants us to have inward affection that will display itself on the outside. A saved person is nice on the outside because he's nice on the inside. An unsaved person can be nice, but it's not because he has a new heart from the inside. It's a practiced behavior, and if he has a family that's generally speaking come from a family that is non-combative and argumentative, you can see how even in the world you can find vestiges of the original Adam. But as far as the character from the inside, it can only be that of a believer that can be characterized as kind. And yet the Bible teaches us in Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good. And that's the word that's translated kindness in the Scriptures. There is none that doeth kindness. In other words, we talked about this in Sunday school as Dan was teaching, that the motive behind the kindness, is it to the glory of God, or is it just simply because we want to interact with people? And we're to do all to the glory of God. And when a person becomes a believer, he begins to be able to do that which is kind from the heart and that which will glorify God. So the Bible commands us to be kind. And it's a deep-rooted thing that begins with salvation, but it needs to be cultivated every day. Every day we cultivate tender-heartedness by reading the Scriptures, by seeking the Lord, by confessing our sins, by letting the Word of God dwell richly within us, that our thoughts and words and deeds and everything about us, even our dress, our attitude, our music, all expresses the kindness and the grace of God. But I want you to see here there's a gospel motivation that should always characterize our attitudes and actions. What is the motivation behind this? Where a worldling says, I need to be kind in order to be able to get along in life, or in order to make a deal, or in order to get promotions in this world. The Bible says our kindness is gospel focused, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, it's gospel thinking. Why should I be kind? Because God has been kind to me in Christ. Why should I love my brothers and sisters as family? Because God is my Father and loves me as a son. And I am reflecting who God is. It's gospel motivation. Everything about us should be gospel focused, gospel motivating. All of our words and works and attitudes spring from, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And obviously, we could also say, even as God is in Christ has been kind to you. He was kind to us in salvation. Remember that parable of the servant who owed his master an incredible amount of money, and he just simply asked him to be show mercy to him, and his master was kind to him, forgave him all his debt. And then the servant turned around and throttled his fellow servant and choked him and showed no kindness. And he said, shouldn't you have shown kindness as you've been shown kindness by your master? And the Lord is teaching us, if we've been shown incredible kindness, we had a debt that we could never pay in billions of years and how many lifetimes, and God forgave us all that debt, shouldn't we turn around and be kind and compassionate to those who owe us pennies in comparison? The gospel is a motivation for our love. The gospel is a motivation for everything that is true and right. Romans 2:4 says, the goodness or kindness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It was God's kindness that won the day, that won our souls. And so God's people should be characterized by kindness. He that winneth souls is wise, and you win souls by kindness. God's kindness was not won by Christ's death. How often people think of the fact that we have to win God's kindness every day. You know, God did not love us because Christ died for us. Christ died for us because God loved us. And we need to keep that in mind. God doesn't love you because you're obeying Him. He loves us with an everlasting love. We obey Him because He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us even when we fall, even when we sin. He chastens us because He loves us. But we need to realize that God's kindness toward us was because He's a kind God. He was tender-hearted toward us. That's why He sent Christ. Christ didn't have to win God's love. He didn't have to say, well, the Father didn't say, Son, you've got to win my love for them. I don't love them. You go and die for them so that I'll love them. No. Son, I love them. I want them to be saved. I've elected them, died for them so that we can save them legally and eternally. We can say we're kind because God is kind. God has been kind toward us. We can be kind because God is kind and God is kind toward us. He can make us kind. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, is it not? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's nothing we can just dream up. It's nothing we can just produce by a recipe. Our thinking is, because God has been kind to me, I can be kind. And He can make me kind. He can make me what I ought to be. We are changed into the image of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. We should be kind toward one another because we're family. Because we're church members. We're members of the same body because we're kings and priests, just like we've studied recently. We're to love one another with family affection as members of the same body, as members of the same royalty. And of course, we know that just like in our homes, parents show themselves froward when we are froward in this. And you know, God, as our Father, at times will, and just like Jesus, will withdraw from us when we are unkind, in the sense that He'll show us that, look, He's not happy. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In the same context, when do we make the Spirit sad? When we're unkind. We grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, either the Holy Spirit in you, believer, this morning is grieved or He's not grieved. If we've been unkind to each other, to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, to our brothers and sisters, there's a grieved spirit. And we need to get before the Lord and take our hands off the neck of our fellow servant and remember how kind God has been toward us. And ask for forgiveness and ask for help, prayer, that we might be kind people. And it's gospel thinking that's the imperative for kindness. Notice this kindness is dogged kindness. It's the second mile kind of kindness. You wonder why that statement is in there, forgiving one another? How does that relate in this text? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I think at least one particular point, if your kindness is spurned, keep being kind. Forgive the spurning of your kindness. Don't stop being kind because it's spurned. Keep being kind. Keep being Christ-like. It's dogged, this kindness. Someone's going to say, you're killing me with your kindness. Rather kill a person with your kindness than your unkindness. There are people that just can't stand when people are kind toward them. Brother and sister, we need to be kind. And when it's spurned, we need to forgive. Love covers a multitude of sins rather than, well, I'm not going to be kind to that person anymore. Every time I do some kind deed or say some kind word or some kind expression, they reject it. They spurn it. Paul understood what that means. He said, the more I love, the less I am loved. But he kept loving and kept loving. What does the Bible say of Jesus? He loved them to the end. Here he is on the way to the cross and he tells them of the torture and the suffering and the death that he's going to experience, and he overhears them comparing who's the greatest. Kind of like being on your deathbed and hearing your children ask who's going to get what in the inheritance. And he loved them to the end. Brother and sister, we love each other to the end. And we all offend one another. There are times we reject and we slight and we despise the kindness, but we keep being kind and we keep overlooking. Love covers a multitude of sins. Let kindness kill, not unkindness. God is persistently kind toward us, isn't He? How we spurn His kindness when we sin. His goodness to us every day. The goodness of God, the kindness of God today. Isn't it wonderful to be alive? To be saved? To experience the break in the weather and the seasons of the Lord and the blue skies and the chirping of the birds and just the warm weather that breaks and soothes our sorrows, as it were, and just encourages us. Each day, oh, the kindness of God. He's given us the Scriptures that people gave their lives in order for us to be able to read the Word of God. Oh, the kindness should be dogged. Keep keep being kind, brother and sister. Forgive me if I've spurned your acts and your words of kindness. Let kindness abound here. There are so many examples. Even many of the other reciprocal commands speak of kindness. Again, being kindly affectionate, being sweet-spirited as family members. The Bible says later in Romans, receive ye one another. The word is welcoming. Just welcoming, even saluting one another, saying hello when you see a brother or sister for the first time in a while is an act of kindness. Serving one another, Galatians 5, and bearing one another's burdens, relieving the weight in a person's life is an act of kindness. Forbearing one another is another consideration in the future. That's an act of kindness. Generosity, like Barnabas, using hospitality one to another without grudging is an act of kindness. Fellowshipping with one another, 1 John 1:7, is an act of kindness. That is evident all through the Scripture. How kind Jesus was to heal multitudes of people and save multitudes of people. The Good Samaritan and his kindness toward a stranger. Matthew and Zacchaeus having dinner for their friends. Jesus putting an ear on a man that had come to arrest him in the garden. Paul healing the sick islanders. Barnabas selling land to give to poor saints. Philemon to have the church in his home. As the children said, Joseph to lend his tomb. Daniel to have his three friends promoted and not just himself. Daniel to ask for the lives of all the magicians. Boaz, how he greeted his workers in the field. Artaxerxes, there are some examples of those that may not have been converted. Artaxerxes was kind to allow Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem. Moses defended Jethro's daughters at the well. Rebekah, again giving Abraham's servant and camel's water. So many acts and words of kindness as the rule in the lives of believers. It pleases God. Again, it's the context. When we give place to the devil, verse 27, when we're mean-spirited and hateful and hard and unforgiving, that's what the devil is like. When we have corrupt words that tear people down, that's an act of unkindness. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God, who seals us to the day of redemption. Here's what grieves the Spirit. The end of that text, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, all those are evidences of unkindness. Bitterness toward others that have wronged us rather than forgiveness. Wrath, excessive anger, boiling over, becoming unkind. Anger, just general, consistent, angry spirit. Clamor, outcries of frustration. Evil speaking, blasphemy. Malice is just someone that's unfriendly, evil-spirited, irreconcilable, with all malice. Christians should be friendly people because Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Christ is our loved one, our friend. He called us friends, didn't he? His brothers. Kindness pleases God. It's God-like. Kindness is Christianity. It's love 101. People should expect it in the church, in Christian homes, and Christian people. Jesus exercises His sovereign power, doesn't He? His authority when He says, be ye kind one to another. And He wants it to be felt kindness, tenderheartedness from deep within. Victorious kindness. Kindness that overlooks that which when it's spurned. Kindness that forgives. Gospel kind of kindness. It's a kindness that's exhibited because God has been kind to us, because I've been saved by God's grace. Therefore, I am kind. Look, it says in Ephesians 5, and of course, the chapter divisions are not inspired. Verse 1, be therefore followers of God. It's in the same context. The word followers is the word mimic. Be mimickers of God, imitators of God. as dear children. What it's saying is, be like God when you're kind. God is kind. Remember the text in Luke, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Don't just be kind to those that are kind toward you and me. The Bible says, be kind to your neighbor. Love your enemies. As love your enemies, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, there can't be any greater epitaph, could there be, than he was a kind person. She was a kind believer. Remember Dorcas in the New Testament? The Bible says all the widows stood by Peter, weeping and showing the coats and garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. In other words, showing all the evidences of her kindness. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And they were simply saying, she was such a kind person. Look at the cloaks, the vestures. Look at the clothing that she made for all of us. She was such a kind person. And Peter said, well, I guess the Lord wants her to continue a little bit longer as an example to all of us. She came back to life. The Lord wants there to be a lot of Dorcases in this church, a lot of Barnabases. Well, may it never be said of us that we're unkind people. That can be one of the worst things that could ever be said of a believer. They're unfriendly. They're unkind. Well, may the Lord help us all to be like the Lord Jesus. Christian kindness should mark this congregation. May it be. And mark all of our homes and mark our marriages and mark our individual lives. God can make it so.